Come to the last God's story, and then we'll talk about the overall lesson plan, the seven teachings, the seven, and then we'll I've handed out to you also lesson one, which is the first lesson, and so we'll try to see how much we can get into that today yet. So let's begin our time with a word of prayer and prepare ourselves for our time of study in God's Word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we, as always, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity, this time that we have in this place with each other and with you. And so we ask, as always, for your guidance, for you to be here. And you have promised to be with us till the end of the age, and we know that we have the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the presence of the Spirit in us, that we can rely upon the Spirit to guide us, be our teacher, be our counselor, be our comforter, and all the things that you have promised in your word. And so I thank you when those are revealed to us in real ways in our individual walks of faith. And so I thank you for this opportunity to teach what I see as kind of a look at your overall agenda, as best we can determine from your word. Now, we know, Lord, there's a lot of things you did not include in your word, but the things you did include are what we need to know definitively. So help us to be open, our minds open, our hearts desiring to seek you in every part of our life and an understanding of your word. So we thank you for that, and I thank you for each person that's come here to be together in this place this morning to be part of this teaching. And I thank you also for those who may listen in and watch on our internet and on the internet and on our website as well. So, Lord, just continue to be with us at this time, especially. Guide my teaching that may be true to your word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what you should have before you, and this will be downloaded onto our website, redeeminggracebc.org, under Age to Age, the new teaching, and over on the notes, if you've ever gone to the website, on the notes, these lessons or any handouts I give here will be posted on the website, and you can download them, print them off if you're not here personally in class. So we'll get right into this as a brand new teaching, and I want to. I've touched on this as a topic before, like I say, a little bit in Isaiah, through all the time we spent in Isaiah, but I want to kind of narrow in on this. And so I want to start first with the first handout, which is the lesson plan. And the lesson plan gives you a list of the seven lessons that I plan to teach on, where hopefully we'll start on lesson one today and move on from there, see how fast we can go through them. I'm kind of tentatively thinking probably 3 to 6 months, but you know me, I always underestimate the time it takes. So just overviewing the lesson plan. This is as best we can define from what the Bible says, what Scripture tells us, what God has told us, His ages, the ages that He's worked through from the time of the beginning, because the first verse of the Bible, as we know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And that's, I'll start right out with a question on the first beginning of what, and so we'll talk about that. When he says in the beginning, what's the beginning of? So We'll get into that as we get into the actual lesson one outline. But I call this first lesson a time of innocence. Basically, in the beginning, part of the beginning, everything was perfect. It was as God wanted it to be. But some things happened. And some things happened, I believe, even before the first day of creation. So that's what we'll talk about and get into. So a time of innocence in this age, this time frame, runs from creation itself to the fall. So I will be sharing, when I get into this lesson, on Genesis 1 to 3. And that's the most background we have on it, but there are other places in Scripture that hint at things that we'll be talking about. So you'll see that as we study the outline and then get into the details of it. I may or may not read all the Bible verses, depending on if they seem to be pertinent to what I'm sharing. But I probably will read all of Genesis 1 to 3 for this first lesson. But some of the later lessons, I'll probably just kind of do some selections. Because you'll see I have on this lesson plan a defined main character of each of these ages. And so, obviously, it starts with Adam. The first Adam. The first Adam, and that age ended. It's from creation to the fall. And we'll see, and we'll talk about the fall in Genesis 3. And perhaps talk about an earlier fall that occurred before the first day of creation. But the character we want to look at is Adam. The second lesson will be conscience is our guide. It seems after the fall, God kind of turned it over to man to do what's right. And from the fall, we know what happened up until the time of the flood. Everything became so corrupt, and everything, God was ready to destroy everything that he had created. But we know he found one man, one righteous man, and that was Noah. So this account will include the account of the flood and Noah. The third age or time frame is what generally is referred to as human government. The human government was established. One of God's basic formation of an organization or a way to operate. And so we'll see in that from the flood, from following the flood, it started over with the family of Noah and what it grew to and what ended up in a lot of corruption itself as well on the face of the earth. But God then chose to take a different way, different place to go. And so he called a man. He called a man out of Babylon, by the name of Abram, and he called him to be, to work through him and create a people that he would call his own to work through. And so that's the third lesson in the age of that would go from the flood to the call of Abraham. And then following that, lesson four will be on an eternal promise, which is through Abraham. But I call it, this age is from the call to the law. And so the law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai is where it kind of was culminated. And so many more rules were put in place, ways were put in place, and God wanted a personal relationship with a people. And so there were many requirements, and a conditional covenant was made with those people. And it was obviously broken, and all the results of that. So the character there is Moses. And then we go on after the law was given, is the time frame from the law itself all the way through the silent period of the Bible. We usually say 400 years from the Old Testament, last of the Old Testament to the New. but through that whole period until Jesus came into the world. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. So, I'm using the character Joshua there, not that he represents that whole age, but he was the one that things were passed on from Moses to Joshua, and Joshua led the people into the promised land. And so Joshua's name means the same as Jesus, you know, the Lord saves. And so Joshua is that kind of transition person, human, until Jesus would come. But Joshua died also, you know. And so we have the fifth age, or the fifth lesson is the law. And then we move on to the present age, what we would call the present age we're in right now, which is the age of grace, the age of the church. And so the church is the entity that God, through Jesus Christ, has been working through for the last nearly 2,000 years, since his birth, and really since the cross. So from the cross, and since we teach, and I believe, that will end, that this age will end when Jesus is ready to come back at the time that no one knows except the Father. And when he comes back, he will take his own to be with him initially. And that's generally called the broad term, the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church will be when the church is taken out, and then everything is made ready for the age that we've talked about through the book of Isaiah. The day of the Lord, the tribulation period, has to begin to ready to prepare the way for the kingdom to come. And the kingdom that will come will be in two phases, which we've talked about from Isaiah. It'll be the first phase will be the millennial messianic kingdom of 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth from Jerusalem on the throne of David for that 1,000 years. And then following that 1,000 years, as we see in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and 22, that will all be judged. At the end of chapter 20 is the white throne judgment, where all unbelievers will be judged along with Satan, and the beast and the Antichrist will be in the lake of fire. And then God will have everything ready for the eternal kingdom, which is described in Revelation 21 and 22. And we talked about a prevision of it from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65 and 66 also talks very briefly about the new heaven, the new heavens, plural, and the new earth. So that's kind of the background. And so the last lesson will be about the kingdom. The kingdom come, when the kingdom comes. And so that's what we're looking forward to, and eagerly anticipating and watching and waiting. But there are things that have to happen. And we see a lot of things, as we've talked through our previous studies, and Raymond shares on and is preaching and teaching, that we're looking at the signs of the times, all the times that things are happening in our world today. And we're particularly concentrating on the role of America in God's plan. You know, there's no reference that we know of to America being in the end times teaching. So a lot of things that are going on today in America should trouble the church. And so the church needs to be part of the watching and pushing back against the forces of evil in our culture and so forth as best we can. So anyway, that's the overview of the teaching that I plan to do. We'll see how, you know, I haven't prepared the future lessons, so I'll do that when each time comes, and that may change some of my thought process as we go. We'll take it a lesson at a time. So as we now take a look at the lesson one, let me just briefly talk about the topics. Now this is the way I do outlines for those that haven't been with me. I generally do an outline. I title the lesson, and as I say, this first lesson is called A Time of Innocence, Creation to the Fall. And so Then I usually take broad topics for that particular lesson. And then I define as best I can Bible verses that relate to that, or the theme that relates to it. So that's a theme or a topic. And so for this first lesson, I've got four topics. And they're at the left margin, the farthest items at the left margin. There's two on the first side of the page. And I just called the first topic "In the Beginning." And that we'll probably get into a little bit today, but probably not too far. I'm just going to probe some real questions and insights, hopefully. So, "In the Beginning," Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And then topic two will be down at the bottom of the page, called "The Days of Creation." I will briefly talk about them. I'm not going to talk about them in great depth, but the days of creation from Genesis 1:3 to 2:3. And then on the back of the page, the other two topics will be Adam and Eve from Genesis 2:4 to 2:25. And then the last topic will be the fall, because we go from the creation to the fall. And so we'll probably talk about the fall a little bit more in detail. I've got extensive items on the handout, and we can talk about it more as we go along. But those 24 verses of chapter 3 of Genesis will be the last topic. So we'll just see how it goes. I encourage you to ask questions as you need to or want to. And any discussion, anything to add, or disagreement, I particularly am open to anybody that might disagree on any of my premises here, because some of these things are open. And so we'll talk about that in this first lesson, because I start it, as I say, with the bullet points, because that's another thing in my outlines. I go from the topic to below the topic are the stars, which are what I call the bullet points. And there are two on the first topic, which are the beginning of what? Genesis 1:1, and darkness before light, Genesis 1:2. And so those are the two topics of bullet points. And then under the bullet points, you'll see how I kind of expound upon them. Dashes, I got four of them under the first bullet point. And then under those, I've got three dots and five dots. So anyway, anybody that's been with me can kind of follow along my pattern of how I put together an outline. But my teaching, I always try to, as best I can in my mind, to organize things and make it as clear as I can as to how I see things from Scripture. But obviously, we're not God, and so we can't totally say this is absolutely right, but it seems to be what the Bible is saying to us. So, all right, if we're ready, let's get into that first lesson, and we'll at least get into verses 1 and 2 this morning. Probably all the further we'll get. But I just want to read again for you. I think we pretty much always have it memorized, verse 1. Verse 1, and then I have the question. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's verse 1. That's how the Bible begins. Remember, this word was given by inspiration to Moses. It's part of the five books of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah in Hebrew, the books of Moses, it's also called. And so it's how it begins. And I know there's a little bit of controversy on what this may imply. But so that's why I want to have these discussion points as I go down through it and the questions that I ask. Because I believe that simple phrase, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. And it's very important to define God. And I do that here. Which God is it that's defined? God created means made from nothing, created the heavens and the earth. So let's just begin with that, because that's the first bullet point. And let's just get into, and anybody want to chime in, they can. But I tried to as best I can to expound upon that question. So what is God saying? In the beginning, He, God, created the heavens and the earth. So, if God had no beginning, does everybody here agree with that? That there's no beginning to God? That's a hard concept for a human mind to get wrap around. But if you believe in the absolute sovereignty of God, that God is in charge of everything, is in control of everything, then what other conclusion can you come to? You can believe in evolution if you choose to want to follow the ways of the world and what the schools are teaching, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, anybody that's studied Darwin's theory, it's a theory. Now, they would also say that creation is a theory. But I believe, if you believe that the Bible is the true Word of God, inspired Word of God, it has an origin for us, and it's specifically given for us. So God, if God had no beginning, and He has always been, and will always be, that's so hard to fathom beyond, because we're finite creatures, or we believe we're finite creatures, because we have a date of birth, and we're going to have a date of death, or hopefully if Christ comes, maybe caught up. But still, it's a type of death, being changed immediately. So, a beginning and an end. And then we have the dash in between that we usually say on our tombstones. And so it's how we deal with the dash that's important in this life, this physical life. But we are finite, basically, or we see ourselves as finite, even though if you really study the totality of Scripture, we are also spiritual beings. And I believe created man will live of one of two places for eternity. And I've said that many times in all my teachings. And I firmly believe it, and I think it needs to be emphasized. Because too many people in this world live their lives just, this is all there is. Live it up. Live it up. But if they realize that how they live in this life, or what they choose, what they believe in this life, will affect their eternity. And so the eternity is what we really have to reflect upon. And that eternity is either you will live in what we would generally call the heavenly realm or the kingdom of God for eternity, or we will be in the pits of hell, the lake of fire. And the lake of fire, as we studied at the end of Isaiah, is a place where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. It's not some place where people can go and party with their friends that many want to talk about. Oh yeah, I'd just rather go to hell because I want to be with my friends. So that's the whole importance of reflecting on all this, because we are, I believe, spiritual beings. That's our inner self, and we will live forever. God created us in His image to live forever. But because man fell and sin exists, there has to be a consequence to that, and so death occurs. So the spiritual realm, as I would say it, has always existed, because God is spirit. Now, God revealed Himself in the natural through His Son, Jesus Christ, but He still operates in the spirit. I believe the Father is a spirit in the throne room of heaven. I believe the Holy Spirit is a spirit that operates everywhere and inhabits each one of the believers in the church. And so the spiritual realm has always existed. And I believe the spiritual realm is the real realm. The physical realm is just for a time. And so, but we wrap ourselves up so much in the physical realm that we don't reflect upon the spiritual realm. So the spiritual realm, I believe, has always existed. So if we want to talk about eternity past, And that's a difficult topic, because most churches don't even touch it. Don't even touch. They just say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on, they see it in the days of creation. But if God has always existed, there had to be something going on in the days before he spoke this and before the days of creation were created. So I believe the spiritual realm has always existed, because it's him, the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the God. But then he created in the eternity past the angels, the sons of God, it's called in Job. And we'll turn to Job, because God confronted Job with this issue. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And the sons of God sang. And so all the things that were happening in God laying the foundations of the earth. And what does that mean, the foundations of the earth? And when did he do that? A lot of questions. Maybe more questions than some people want to delve into. But you know, that never stops me. So I take it as a challenge, and I think it ought to be reflected upon. In that eternity past, we know that man did not exist. We know the creation of man occurred on the sixth day of creation, when God took the ground, Adama, from the ground. He made Adam out of Adama. The only character that's added to the ground from Adam, the name Adam, which is first blood, by the way, means in Hebrew, first blood, first man, but first blood. And he added the hay, the breath. And so the Adama from the ground he used to form man, and then breathed into man, and man became a living being. And we'll see that in Genesis 2. And so that's an important concept. So I propose, we can debate it, but I propose God did not need to record any history of the eternity past, or very limited. Sometimes it's referred to in ways in Scripture that you have to kind of think about and figure out. But he didn't record it. And the reason he didn't, I believe, this is my sense, that the crown jewel of his creation would be man. And that's where he would start the relationship. He wanted a relationship. And so man was the creation, or the crown jewel of his creation. And so recorded history didn't have to be kept before then, and all the things that have been recorded. So little is recorded of anything before the actual days of creation. So point three there, under God had no beginning. Therefore, in the beginning, God, and that's where I referred to, Elohim is the word in Hebrew. I put the Hebrew characters there. Aleph, you go from right to left. On the right is the Aleph, the first character in Hebrew. The Lamed is the second character in Hebrew. And really, that's the general God, and literally means first teaching. Because the symbol, the image on the Hebrew alphabet, the first character in the Hebrew alphabet, is a picture of the oxen. That's what the picture represents. And the oxen is always the picture of the one who pulls the cart, is the beast of burden. So when something is first, then you follow it with what's called the Lamed, which is down here, the Lamed, and it's a prod. If you know what a prod is, if anybody have tended cattle or animals, you use a prod to kind of move them along. So the prod in Hebrew pictures teaching or learning. So if you have really the simple name for God, is first teaching. God is our first teacher. And so that's why we need to study his word. So first teaching, and then the third character is the he. And the he here, fifth character in the Hebrew alphabet, is the picture of the breath or the spirit or the behold, has those kind of meanings. So in the middle of this picture of God is the spirit. So, and then the last two characters are the yod, tenth character, right here, the yod, and it wraps up with what's called the final mem. When the mem is at the end of a Hebrew word, it's a different character than in the middle of a Hebrew word. But the mem is the picture of water. Water is what the mem represents. And so when you put the yod with the mem, it makes a plural. It's a plural. So God here, Elohim, is a plural word. And Elohim, I believe, is the triune God. And that's why I say it's a plural word indicating, I believe, the triune God. Okay. Let's go on to that second dash. The recorded story in the Bible starts with creation and the physical realm is revealed. So whether there was a literal physical realm before God created things, I believe there was to a limited degree. I believe God may have created the universe in some fashion before the full days of creation, where he formulated things precisely. We know the earth was there. The earth was there before, because I believe when Lucifer fell, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, he was confined to this dark space, which was the earth. And so that's where we'll go on to verse 2. We'll see that there was darkness over the waters. So you can't just disregard that or just kind of look past it, because there was darkness in some form of physical realm that's being described here in verses 1 and 2. And so let's read down through this. The recorded story starts with creation and the physical realm is revealed. Now, whether there was a portion of a physical realm before the days of creation, I believe there was, because I believe the earth was there and some aspect of the heavens were there. Yes, Dan?
Okay, so in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. So in the beginning, when he created the heavens and earth, there might have been a space in there before the first... The first day was formed with the light.
I think you have to separate. You know, we can't say it because God doesn't tell us, but in the beginning is a separate part of the phrase.
Yeah.
God created the heavens and the earth. The result will end up being that he ends up with creation, and he describes that creation later.
So 1 and 2.
Yeah. And then 2, verse 2 tells us there's something weird going on. You know, because we know by all of God's word that God is light. So if it's just strictly God in eternity past, where's the darkness come from?
But then it does say somewhere later that in 6 days he created the heaven and the earth. Too, so I don't know how that...
The heavens and the earth.
The heavens and the earth, yeah.
So whether that's... all physical. See, that's why I still struggle with the question, was eternity past before the 6 days of creation? Mm-hmm. Starting in verse 3 of Genesis.
Well, that eternity past gets your head off.
Well, yeah, it'll make your head spin.
Yeah.
Because we can't comprehend it all and we don't know. Mm-hmm. Because God didn't choose to tell us. And I believe that's because he didn't give his recorded word to Moses until he wanted it revealed to man. I believe the key to his whole creation because of that relationship. So it's really the, but there is a possibility that some limited aspect of the creation of the universe may have been partially created, the physical universe, in the eternity past. We can't say absolutely, but we can kind of try to imagine as best we can from what the Word says.
Well, it's hard to imagine that, before time began, so then you can't really put a figure on what that time
and was. That's another part of what happened with creation. I believe time began. Because we calculate time by the Bible, those who believe in the literal Word of God in the Bible, not taking evolution and all the things that science tries to tell us, millions and billions of years. God's been around millions and billions of years, however long you think it is. What was it like back in those days before? And God chose not to reveal much of that in His total Word. It makes a wonder. We have to wonder, and I think God wants us to wonder, because if we're all readying ourselves, or hopefully readying ourselves for eternity, we can then wonder about that too. What are we going to do for eternity if we become eternal beings? In a spiritual way, but in a physical way as well. So those are all deep questions that most, even theologists, don't want to touch on, because there's no definitive, absolute answers. But I'm just giving you my best thoughts on it based on the totality of Scripture. And we'll get into some of these verses, particularly the Job verse. The Job 38, I think, is a very interesting and revealing verse relative to this.
This also tells us that while creation is important, and it is very important, and that God did the creating,
right,
that the six-day creation is not the important issue.
Right.
It is important.
It's important,
wrong,
yeah.
But it's not the issue.
Right, because it's not.
Because it takes up two chapters.
Yeah.
And in parts of Isaiah and other places,
right,
in the book, but it's not the
it's not the issue. It's not the totality.
It's the fall and the sin.
Absolutely. It's the whole. Creation of man, I think, is very important. Yeah. The relationship that God wanted with man, and wanted man to know Him and become like Him. And so all those things, I think, are important. But, okay, let me see. Creation of the heavens and the earth and the universe, possibly. God created all living things in the heavens. Now, this is a line that we can think about or talk about, but I believe there are three heavens. And that comes from Paul's word in 2 Corinthians, I've got it there, 12:1-4. And we'll read it here probably next week. But I think there are literally three heavens. And if you define those, there's the heavens that we can see, from the earth, above the earth, the sky and the things that we can see. But we know there's a mass universe, which are part of the heavens. And I call those the second heaven. The universe where we're trying to travel to find life or whatever, aliens, whatever all the interests are nowadays. So the universe is kind of the heaven between what we see as heaven on the horizon and above the horizon and where God is. Because we know the third heaven is where God is, the throne room of God. And that's what we believe Paul, even though he didn't say it was him, but he knows a man who was caught up to the third heaven. And so I believe, and it makes sense, that the throne room of God is the far north, which is called where Lucifer wanted to rise to the heights of where God is. And so I believe that's the third heaven. And then the stars, literally the stars. Now we know that the stars were put in the sky on the fourth day of creation, along with the sun and the moon, or at least it were mentioned there. So whether some of the stars were made before that or not, God knows all the stars. He names the stars. He names the constellations and so forth. Then the sons of God, which are the angels, and one of those sons of God is Lucifer, or was the morning star, which we know from Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. His pride reared up and he rebelled against God, and God had to judge him and kick him out of heaven. And so that's part of it. And then we'll let the rest of this go until next week. But I guess I'd encourage you, to whatever degree you want, to kind of do your own little study on this. Read some of these verses ahead of time, and we'll probably have more verses to consider. But God laid the foundations of the earth, according to Job, with proper measurements and cornerstones. So there were some physical things going on. And then we see, also we have to take into account the rebellion of the angels against God. And that had to happen, in my opinion, before the days of creation. Because we know the serpent was in the Garden of Eden. How did he get there? God put him there. And he had a tree that was specifically identified related to him. The knowledge of good and evil. So if God made everything good, and he is good all the time, and he is light, and he is love, then the rebellion is the answer to where evil came from. So all those considerations. So we'll wrap up for today, and hopefully next week we'll continue on with this. And I hope it challenges your thinking. I hope you want to look at studying some things yourself, realizing that we can't have all the answers, and God doesn't want us necessarily to have all the answers, because we're not God, and God's in control. So that's what we need to remember. Let's pray and prepare ourselves for a time of worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of being in your word and studying your word from the beginning. And we just ask for your continued guidance of your Holy Spirit, who was there in the beginning. And so we have that power that you have given to us to actually live in us through faith in Christ, that was there in the beginning. And so we thank you for revealing to us what you want us to know, and to challenge us and encourage us, and to believe you, to take you at your word and understand it to the best degree that we can. So we thank you for this opportunity to teach on the ages past and bringing us up to the current age, and also looking into the future. So we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share on this and challenge our thinking and our minds, and encourage us to study all your word, because your word in totality is your total counsel. Help us to grow in our understanding of your total counsel. And so help us to do that even more, Lord, as we go into our time of worship. I ask for your blessing on each part of our worship service. I ask for your blessing upon the prayers that will be lifted up, asked for, and any praises that will be offered. And so we pray for that. We pray for our music, our time of music, as we particularly enter this season leading up to the celebration of the birth of Jesus, and remembering how important that event, that crossroads event in time that occurred, and that we can remember and look at it from what you have told us in your word, and know that Jesus became a man and all that he accomplished for you and for us. And so we thank you for that, the music that will be sung. We thank you for the word that will be shared, and we ask specifically for a blessing upon Mark as he shares the message this morning. And I just ask that the word you've given him will be understood and welcomed and encouraged. And so we just ask for every part of our service to be a blessing to the people that come into this place. And we ask for that fellowship, that time of fellowship. I ask for a blessing upon our fellowship meal afterwards as well. So I just thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you in this place. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.